Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Through the centuries, believers and Bible scholars alike have appreciated the epistles of Peter for giving us a clear presentation of God's government. Surely this point is the subject of these books. But woven throughout Peter's epistles, as well as the epistle of Jude, is a basic structure, a central line of focus that if we neglect, will leave us far removed from the reality of living a life that is actually under God's government. It's this basic structure of these 3 books that is our subject for the final 2 programs. And with this program today, Bill Lawson is here with us. And Bill, in these last 2 life studies, as Witness Lee concluded this set of 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude, he really came largely back to the books of Peter, but incorporating some of the main points of Jude that matched. There's a lot of parallels in these 3 books, even though they're not, you know, contiguous in the structure of the New Testament. But the message is unmistakable in these last 2 programs, isn't it? That we need to be brought back to the real focus, the real central line of these books.
That's right, Chris. We have the main subject of these, especially the books of Peter and Jude, the matter of the divine government, all the judgment we've been talking about for the last number of programs. But we have to realize there's a particular focus that Brother Lee wants us to see, and we may know the main subject of, you know, the divine government, the judgment, and so on, yet we may miss the central focus of these books, which is the very structure of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and his threefold salvation to man. So we need to really have our eyes open to see this central focus.
We did touch that in the last program or two on Jude, especially when we got to those verses 20 and 21, which we have to say are kind of a high point, a pinnacle, that bring out the operation of the triune God, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So we have praying in the Spirit, the love of God the Father, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So clearly the triune God is there in his operation. But this same theme is throughout the books of Peter also, isn't it?
It really is. You have the triune God there mainly in the first couple chapters of Peter, 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 2. And then, like you say, you mentioned Jude verses 20 and 21. Again, you have the structure of the triune God. And of course, I think we all realize with Paul's 14 epistles, we have a real structure of the triune God in his 14 books.
I think by the time the program is concluded today, we'll see that this is really the divine hand, this unifying thread connecting all of the books of the New Testament, the divine revelation, just too marvelous. And there is a central basic structure to it that we cannot afford to miss. I'd like to read the first 3 or 4 verses, actually, Bill, of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, just to kind of refresh us. It's been several weeks now, 9, in fact, since we were first in this portion. Witness Lee has a lot of feeling and a lot of burden in this sharing today. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, kept in the heavens for you. And Bill, as I read these verses again now, it takes me back to when we began this life study in Peter and how we were remarking at the time what the Lord had wrought into this poor Galilean fisherman. Such an utterance, such a clear presentation of God and his divine operation in the whole Trinity.
Knowing Peter's background, you would say, how could this man unveil the profound matters of God's divine economy like this? Peter really underwent a transformation.
He really did. All right, let's join Witness Lee, Bill.
What is the focus? What is the basic structure of these 2 books? You must grasp the center. What is the center? The focus. Even the book is on God's judgment, but the focus is not God's judgment. It's not divine government. What is the focus? The triune God's operation to carry out his threefold salvation. Regeneration, redemption, and application. Okay. In first chapter of the first book are what? Are the operation of the triune God for his full salvation. The Father's regeneration, the Son's redemption, and the Spirit's application. And these three are based upon the Father's choosing, the Spirit's sanctifying, and the Son's shedding of his blood. And the first three, I mean the Father choosing, the Spirit sanctifying, and the Son's shedding of the blood, these are the operations to carry out God's full salvation. And God's full salvation is composed with these three aspects: the Father's regeneration, the Son's redemption, and the Spirit's application. We got saved. We got the full salvation. And this ends with what? This ends with a life. A life of two aspects: holy or holiness, loving or love. To live a holy manner of life and to love the brothers. You see, holiness and love are the issue of this full salvation. And this full salvation has a seed. And the seed is incorruptible, which is the very living word of God. This is the simple sketch of chapter 1.
Well, he said this is a simple sketch. It sounded simple, Bill, but if I had to repeat it, I'd need some help, so I'm going to turn to you.
In my background, Chris, of course, 1st and 2nd Peter, there are many, many roads you can take, and the roads are good and profound. Yet, again, if we miss this central focus, we just travel down these roads, but we really don't see the full picture. But it's really quite good that Brother Lee and his ministry directed us to the focus in these two books. Especially in chapter 1, he focused on the triune God. The Father's regenerating us, the Spirit's sanctifying us, and the Son's redeeming us. That salvation is full and rich because you have the Father involved who does the planning, the foreknowing. Then in time, the Son came,
right,
you know, to redeem us because after God's purpose was laid out there, man fell into sin and fell away from God. So we need to be separated, in a sense, from the worldly situation and separated unto God. And the Lord's redeeming blood separated us in a sanctifying way and at the same time sprinkled us to redeem us. But if the Spirit does not apply what the Son accomplishes in redemption, then nothing of the triune God can be applied to me in time.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Spirit's application is very important here, applying what the Son accomplished and what the Father purposed to us.
He has made the point, and we'll make it again, Bill, that this first half of the second chapter are all crucial passages related to the matter of the divine life, really related to this basic structure that we're talking about, the focus that we don't want to miss. In chapter 2, he goes on and says, "As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the Word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation." We had that phrase just kind of underscored in our being as he presented it before. "If you have tasted that the Lord is good, coming to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but with God chosen and precious, you yourselves also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then if we jump ahead to verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Bill, in all of Scripture, in the years you have spent studying, reading, enjoying, and preaching the Bible, have you ever heard such condensed, rich, full utterance that conveys the central line of God's economy? Let's join Witness Lee again as he typed this rich portion.
In chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, tells us, okay, in chapter 1, you have been regenerated. Now in chapter 2, you are a newborn babe. So you need to feed on something that you may grow. As newborn babes, you need to feed on or to drink the guileless milk of the word that you may grow into salvation. You were born in chapter 1, and the full salvation is your portion. Yet, to partake of, to fully enjoy this full salvation, you need to feed on the milk of the word to grow into the full salvation. Could you follow me? Then, okay, by such a feeding and such a growing, you are transformed. You all become stones. So, in the first chapter, at the opening word, Peter didn't use Simon Peter, just Peter. He was a stone. He was a stone. By feeding and growing, you have been transformed into a stone. For what? For building up of the spiritual house, which is the priesthood. And this, on the one hand, is God's dwelling place, for God to dwell. On the other hand, is a kind of a tiling out. Tiling out what? Tiling out his virtue. This is just to express what God is. You see, it's a corporate matter to afford God to dwell in place and tell out God's virtue. That is to express God. Then, at the end, verse, I believe, 10, says, the God of all grace will perfect you, establish you, sing you, and ground you. That means ground you in the triune God. This is crucial. Be fully captured by this focus.
Well, Bill, we hear it presented that way, and you don't want to be captured by anything else, do you? I mean, this, it seems inescapable now you've seen it, but it's one of those things that, of course, I don't know how many times we could plow through this passage and these chapters in 1st and 2nd Peter and come away maybe impressed the fact that we, even as God's people, are subject to his judgment and may experience his dealings, but completely miss what now seems to be so obvious. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, the more you get into it and listen to Brother Lee's minister, these riches, then you realize, he's touching a focus that we didn't even know there was a focus. We're looking at verse by verse, and we're trying to piece together these particular verses and not knowing what's the main point, what's the sub-points, what's auxiliary, what's major. But when he talks about the need to be built up with other regenerated believers in the Lord's divine life and be built up as stones, because we're regenerated with the Lord's life in chapter 1.
That's right.
But most believers, they just get stuck in chapter 1, and they think, well, as long as I'm born again, that's all I need. But no, in chapter 2, after we're regenerated by the Father, you have to continue to follow the Lord and live by the life that regenerated you.
Yeah.
And that is done by the living Word of God. We feed on the Word. We allow the Word of God to nourish us, to sanctify us, to saturate us. Then we're transformed metabolically from something botanical into something mineral. So this is what Peter is talking about in a corporate sense with other believers, built up a spiritual house. And these ones are able to express the triune God by telling out his virtues. So this is really quite a focal point that he is touching here.
Yeah, I recall when we were going through this life study, he came to this matter of the building up. Here, Peter was, he had actually two names, depending, sometimes three if you count Cephas, which is a translation of one of his names, but he originally, of course, was Simon, then the Lord, right at his calling, changes his name to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And then variously, he's referred to either as Simon or Peter, mm-hmm. but frequently Simon Peter,
right.
which sort of implies both the old creation and the new creation there. But when Peter right. is presenting this, he's careful. He only uses the word Peter,
right.
Implying that this is the transformed Peter that's good for the building up. And this is underscored in this central focus that we're talking about, isn't it?
Right. No doubt these two epistles were not called First and Second Simon. Maybe if Peter would have tried to write an epistle at his conversion, he would probably call it First and Second Simon, because he surely lacked the transformation. But this is at the very end of his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks about putting off the tabernacle. So Peter knew his death was imminent, and he realized he had to present something, according to the revelation that the Lord gave him, something much more profound than his earlier ministry, than his later ministry, more and more centered on regeneration, the redemption, the application of the Spirit. The matter of precious stones built together for God's house. God wants a corporate house on this earth that expresses the very triune God. So Peter really was getting into some profound things. And surely there's no Simon here. It's really Peter, one who has really been transformed after many, many experiences.
Bill, as we come to this last section, I've selected a verse from chapter 3 of 2 Peter, near the end of both of his epistles. He makes reference to Paul by name. And I think we need to realize, just to remind ourselves, a little bit of the history here. Of course, Peter had a preeminent role in the ministry initially, even at the mm-hmm. time the Lord was on the earth. And Paul never knew the Lord in the flesh. It was sometime later when Paul was brought into the ministry. So Peter was preeminent.
Right.
But then, at a certain point, Paul emerges, and really we have these 14 tremendous epistles, the heart of the New Testament, we mm-hmm. have to say. And now at the end of his life, however, Peter has had this transforming journey, and what is resulting is this marvelous collection, these two short epistles, but full of the rich points, and we're going to see how much they parallel Paul in his speaking by that time. And Peter, no envy, no striving, no competition. Listen to Peter's recommendation of Paul in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Even as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them concerning these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the unlearned and unstable twist, as also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. But elevating Paul's writings here to the level of Scripture, and emphasizing that Paul also spoke of these things. Here's Witness Lee for our final segment.
This is the focus of these two books. Just like this building, the beam, steel beam, is all covered either by wood or by stone. The wood, the stone, are not the basic structure. The basic structure of this hall is steel. Steel columns and steel beams. You can strip away all the wooden covers. You see a lot of stones there, right? They are nothing. That is not the structure. Even you strip away all the wood, all the stones, and everything, I tell you, steel structure is here. That is the steel structure. You have to grasp the basic structure of Peter's writing. The basic structure is the triune God operating to accomplish the threefold full salvation, that we may be born, that we may feed on his word, that we may grow to be transformed and to be built up, that he may have a dwelling place that we can express him. This is the structure. Paul talked about the same thing. And we have to feed on, and we have to grow, and we have to build up, that God may have a house, that God may have an expression. These two apostles minister actually absolutely the same thing in different terminologies. The only thing, Paul was very much learned, his writing was very scholarly, and Peter, he was not so scholarly, he was not so learned, but he tried the best to use the top expressions. Always the top most adjectives. This is the only difference. Actually, the two means the same thing. I hope that you should not be distracted from the central line, the focus.
Well, Bill, the Apostle Paul says that until Christ make his home in your hearts through faith. Really, again, saying in his terminology, in his utterance, and in his more scholarly way, the same central focus. And as we've been talking this whole program, now that it's pointed out, how do you miss it?
Right, especially his word here about regeneration, then that brings us the divine life. Then, after receiving the divine life, we need to grow up in that divine life, not just receive it. We need to grow up and live by that life. When we live by that life, we are transformed into stones for the building of God's house. And all of this is structured with the triune God. When you mentioned, Chris, this matter of in reading the verses about Peter, they're recommending Paul in 2 Peter 3:16. He talks about concerning these things.
Yeah.
So many times we see these things. What things? We don't know what things. But I think now we have a better handle on what these things are, the operation of the triune God, right? His regeneration, our living by the divine life, our growing up in the divine life, our being transformed into solid materials for God's building to express the very triune God. These are the things Peter realized Paul had a deeper understanding of. Like you say, Chris, he wasn't jealous of Paul. He wasn't upset because Paul had further light and revelation. But really, Peter, Paul, and even Jude, as you were saying, they all touch the matter of building, because Jude in verses 20 and 21 talks about building up yourselves,
right
in your most holy faith. Of course, in a more of an elementary and a personal way, he talks about building. But when Peter touches building in 1 Peter chapter 2, 5, and 9, he's talking about a corporate building.
Right.
And then, like you say, Chris, when Paul talks about the building, you know, he talks about we are builded up into, you know, a dwelling place of God in spirit. And then he also talks in 1 Corinthians about God's farm and God's building.
Right.
So both Jude and Peter and Paul, they touch this very deep, profound thing concerning the growth and the building up of the saints into the triune God.
And of course, Peter mentions living stones. Paul also makes reference to the building material, gold, silver, precious stone, that our building needs to be with these materials. So 100%, they're tracking together by this point, aren't
right,
they in their respective portions in the ministry. And what we see here, not two people with ministries per se.
Right.
We really see two or three, including Jude and John and the others,
right,
really all with a portion in the one ministry of the New Testament, the one ministry that brings us to the operation of the triune God for the accomplishment of his eternal purpose.
Right. I was considering too, Chris, if you look in Hebrews, Paul's book, in chapter 5, you have the matter of everyone who is inexperienced is someone who just drinks milk, like Peter says. But solid food is for the mature. So even Paul in Hebrews 5 and 6 makes a distinction between the Word of God, which is milk to some believers. The same Word of God can be solid food to the believers. And Peter touches the same thing about newborn babes, you know, longing for the guileless milk of the Word that we may grow unto salvation. So again, these two track, you know, each other all the time, Paul and Peter. Of course, we know Peter's ministry was mainly to the Jewish part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Paul's ministry to the Gentile portion of the body of Christ. Yet both ministries were building right up into the same corporate expression with the triune God.
Well, Bill, we've had 9 weeks to enjoy these three short books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the book of Jude, and it draws to a conclusion tomorrow, and Lord willing, Ron Kingis will be here. We'll have kind of an overview of the three books. We hope that all of you listening will be with us for that final program. Then we'll have some life studies from 2 Corinthians for several weeks, and then we'll begin the life study of Psalms, and I think that should be very dynamic and full of light for all of our listeners. Everyone loves and cherishes this book, but we're about to see it unfolded in the way of a life study, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, Bill, thanks for being with us today and the times you've been able to join us, and look forward to your participation in future programs. We hope you'll contact us to get the printed life studies, not only of 1st, 2nd Peter, and Jude, but maybe to prepare, you can get the life study of Psalms. If you don't already have 2 Corinthians, that's available as well as the recovery version with the footnotes on all of these. So contact us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And join us again tomorrow. With Bill Lawson, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you so much for listening today.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hand.
Millions of Christians have been strengthened in their faith through the ministry of Watchman Nee. In a recent release by Living Stream Ministry entitled The Overcoming Life, Watchman Nee sounds a call to the believers to pursue the normal Christian life that is hidden with God in Christ. The Overcoming Life is filled with truth, reverberates with hope, and brings the reader to renewed consecration. The Overcoming Life by Watchman Nee from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788.